Well, for the message tonight, you can turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. And I would like tonight to have a very simple message for you, for me, just to inspire us, to encourage us about what a glorious gospel we have at our fingertips, works in our hearts, it changes us, it makes us new creatures. And Paul, in this letter to the Galatians, he gives just a glorious declaration of the gospel in this chapter, chapter 1. It's just a beautiful picture. I would just like for us to just look at that just for a bit here tonight. And the title for the message tonight is in a question form. And the question is, why Jesus died? Why Jesus died? And I would like for you, as we read a couple of verses here, to think about that question. And I'm going to open it back up for you again. And I would like for you to list some reasons of why Jesus died. And then I would like to take those reasons tonight, and we're just going to pick them apart, some of them just word by word, phrase by phrase. And we're going to allow the Word of God to speak to us through the Spirit and to be encouraged, maybe to be changed, challenged, convicted, however it may be for us. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Those are some beautiful verses that we just read. Why was Paul opening up this letter with such a wonderful statement about the gospel? Why did he write to this church and lay out in such beautiful words, in such clarity, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why did he do that? Well, down farther in verse 6 and on down, he says that he hears that there's leaven that has come in to their church, and some were being troubled and perverted. And Paul was troubled by that. About a gospel that was being taught in the church that was perverted and twisted and not right. And Paul said, the gospel that I gave you, verse 12, he said it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I did not receive this by any man. This was taught me by Jesus himself. And we have questions about when that all happened, perhaps, and how that all was. But Paul had communication with Jesus, and Jesus gave to him the gospel. And Paul was presenting this to the church of Galatia. This is the true gospel. This is not perverted. It's not twisted. And like the old saying goes, the best way to expose a crooked stick is by what? Put a straight stick beside it, right? And so that's the rule. You get out your straight stick and lay beside the other one. Is it right or is it wrong? And Paul said, here, this is the true gospel. You lay it alongside of the other gospels that you're hearing. And which one is straight? Which one's crooked? Which one's not right? Why did Jesus die? Did you hear some reasons of why Jesus died in these verses? Go ahead and list them out.
Deliverance from evil.
Deliverance from evil. All right, very good. There's more. All right. Thank you. For sins, personally and for the whole world. Why else did Jesus die?
It was the Father's will.
Yes. It was the will of the Father. Yes, according to the will of God and our Father. Absolutely. It was God's will that Jesus died. Why else? Is there another reason why Jesus died? It's maybe not quite as plain. All right, to show us his grace. He died so he could bring glory to his Father. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. I would just like to take these phrases found in verse 4 and verse 5, and very simply, we're just going to break them apart and find the truth that's in these verses for us. Tonight, where in Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania in 2025, these words are still for us today. Amen. And they're alive and they're real. These words are precious. Do you read your Bible like that? That these words are precious, that they're alive? Is this something that you do? It's a challenge for me. Why did Jesus die? He died. He gave himself for our sins. He died that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And he died because of the will of the Father. And he died to bring glory to his Father. Those are the reasons that Paul gave of why Jesus died. The first reason, who gave himself for our sins. He died for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. That is, that he paid a price for our sins. He gave. He came to pay a debt. You and I tonight, we had a debt that we couldn't pay. We owed something that was too much for us. We needed somebody to come and help us. We were in trouble. And thank God there was an answer to our need. He came and he gave himself. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He gave himself. Think about that word, gave. He gave. Have you ever thought about what Jesus gave? Did you ever read through the Gospels and read what Jesus gave? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says, even so the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, speaking of Jesus, he says, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we're not far from that verse. Yes, the end of the verse there. Who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Ephesians 5 verse 25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, would you conclude tonight that Jesus, was he a selfish person? Or was he a giving person? What kind of person was our Savior tonight? He was a giving person. He gave himself. That's why he came. How much time did Christ spend on himself? How much time did he carve out for himself? He came to give his life for everyone. He ministered. He was spent and spent over and over. He gave himself. He gave himself. What a wonderful giver Jesus is. How do you and I, how do we look against that tonight? Is that said of us? Is that said of me? That we are a giver. Jesus came and he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself. Just think about that, himself. Our Savior gave himself. He didn't give lambs, though he owns all the lambs. He didn't pay the debt with gold, even though he owns all the gold. It's all his. Not all the beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away its stain. No animal would do. Nothing else would do. Himself. He gave himself. God the Father sent his Son as a lamb, as a human, so he can identify with us tonight. We're brothers with Christ, Scripture says. Do we ever stop and think about what that means? Like, do we really grasp that, yes, Christ does understand me? He was made like me. He knows. He knows my frame. He knows that we're dust. He understands the temptations that we face. He was man, but also divine. And we marvel at the mystery. Only God could do something like this. Divine, but yet man. But yet that was what it took for us, poor wretches that we were, to buy us back. Nothing else would do. Jesus had to give himself. He gave himself. In order to meet and satisfy the divine, righteous requirements of God. God is a holy God. He gave himself. He gave himself for, think about that, for our sins. It's such a small, simple word, isn't it? But some have said it's the most powerful word in our language. He gave himself for our sins. I mean, we use this word all the time, and we don't really even think about that we're saying this word for. But we say, you know, what will you give me for this piece of land? What will you give me for my vehicle? What will you give me for? And we talk like this all the time, like, what will you give me for this or for that? It's a word that indicates substitution or an exchange. You get something and I get something. I get the money, you get the car, or however it is. But Jesus gave himself for our sins. It's teaching us tonight that Jesus died in my place. He died for me. He died for you. He died for the whole world. The atonement of Jesus tonight is substitutionary. He died for us in our place. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He gave himself for our sins. Think about that. Think about what Christ did for you tonight. He died for you to save you from your sins. All right, well, we're just taking this word by word here. He died, gave himself for our sins. Just think about that word, our. Sometimes the atonement of Christ is made very personal. Galatians 2:20, we just read that verse, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's very personal. That's me. That's you. All right, that's personal. Then the next time it talks very broad and very wide. And it includes everyone. John chapter 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John 4, verse 42, the Samaritan woman testified, and I know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The world. He gave himself for our sins, for the sins of the world. Like, do I stop and think about that today, that the people that I met and had contact with, that he died for them too? The sacrifice of Christ is sufficient for everyone. There's no one too far gone tonight. There's no one wherever. It doesn't matter, whoever it may be, the poorest man, the richest man. Christ has died for them. How often do I become gripped with that? How often does it make me speak a word? They have a soul. They'll live forever. Will I share a message of hope to them? Will they see my life? Will they observe me? This man's different. What's up with this man? He died for the world. You know what, dear ones, tonight, the sad reality that is that Jesus told us that only few are going to be able to find the road. The road's narrow. He said it's only going to be a few that go in there at. That's sad tonight, but it's true. And that can be even right within our own churches. People are unwilling to go in at the narrow gate. There's many people, Jesus said, on the broad way. And that's the way that leads to destruction. They have the life now, they think, perhaps. But it doesn't end well. We have a message. We have a gospel to proclaim to this dark world, to this present evil world. Jesus will redeem a people. He will redeem a people. He's coming back for his church, for his bride. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, there will become people out of everywhere who have accepted the blood of Christ. We have been called tonight to be an ambassador for Jesus. Are we doing that? Am I faithfully doing that? Or am I becoming lax in that? He gave himself for our sins. There's a message that needs to be told to this dark world. Well, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Tonight, dear ones, there's comfort that can be found in coming to grips with the truth and the reality that Jesus, he died for me, and he died for everyone that I know and everyone that I see. And he's died to help us all. Take courage in that tonight. There's comfort to be found in that. Well, he gave himself for our sins. Sins, that's the next word. What is our problem tonight anyways? Is it our educational system? Is it the politics? Is it our environment? Is it the economy? Is it the hurts that I have? Is it the mistakes? Is it my upbringing? Like, what really is our problem tonight? And anyways, what is our problem? He gave himself for our sins. That's our problem. To partake in the gospel tonight, you and I have to come to grips and we have to recognize the fact that we're sinners. We're sinners. And all the other things that I mentioned are just symptoms of a greater need that we have. They're just the fruits, the hurts, and the misunderstandings, and the mistakes, and the upbringing, and the everything about that is all rooted deeper, a deeper problem. You and I have to come face to face with the fact that we're sinners in order to partake of the gospel. We need to tonight to stop this blame shifting and excusing ourselves tonight. We need to stop it. Sin. That's the biggest problem of my heart tonight. That's the biggest problem of the human race tonight, is sin. Do we believe that? How often do we try to just deal with the symptoms? We need to get to the root. And our greatest need tonight is that we're sinners. Oh, we don't like that though, do we? I don't like that. Well, we need to cry out as that publican did out in that, wherever he cried out, street corner, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." You and I must come to grips tonight with the fact that you and I have a deep need, and it's sin that is the need of our hearts, that we need help with. It's sin. Well, it's just not sin, but it's sins. He gave himself for our sins. It's plural. Small or great, past, present, or future. Sins. He gave himself for our sins. Jesus. He cried out on the cross, it's finished. It's finished forever. It has been paid in full. We can now be partakers tonight of his divine nature, Peter tells us. How can that be that sinners can partake in the divine nature of Christ? How can that be? It's a mystery of God tonight. He gives us his Spirit to dwell within us. Praise the Lord. We can be no longer a sinner or sinners, but we can be saved. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned and my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Does that get you excited tonight? Have you been saved tonight? If so, praise the Lord. Amen. You have. Oh, we just don't sometimes come to grips with what we have tonight in Christ. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him. My living head and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? How can that be? You and I tonight, we can be free, absolutely free from this weight of sin tonight. This is the gospel. This is the gospel message. Does this mean that you and I can go on living as we want to now? No. No. Second phrase. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Jesus tonight will rescue you. He'll deliver you from this present evil world. Paul is saying tonight, dear ones, there's power to be had in this gospel message. There's a change to be had here tonight. I mean, what does our Lord do tonight? Does he go into the salvage yards and he pulls out the rusted junk in there and puts a coat of paint over it? Is that what he does? No, he doesn't do that. No, he buys us back and he makes us new again. That's what he does. Brings us into his kingdom. And delivers us. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And tonight we sang, forget which song it was, about purifying and about a fire that purifies us. And I tell you tonight, purification is painful. And it's going to hurt. Be okay with that. Be okay with the pain that comes. This is how we grow. This is how we change. Purification is painful to our flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus has come tonight to deliver us from sin and from this present evil world. He has come to break the chains that have bound us. I have had chains in my life that have bound me. And it seems like just a few short years ago it was that way for me. I left myself go into immoral things, and my life became full of debauchery and sin and chains. Tonight, praise God, we can be free from that. I don't know how I'm here tonight, except by the grace of God. Tonight, that's what sets Christianity apart from all other religions. Tonight, they all have prophets and great teachers. But tonight our Lord is the deliverer and he's the rescuer. That's who he is tonight. Yes. Tonight, if you're a Christian, you're no longer bound to sin no more, to the chains of sin. No longer slaves to your own passions and your own lusts. No more slaves to the approval of men. It doesn't matter no more. Slaves of God tonight and his righteousness, right living. That's what it is. We've been freed from the power of sin tonight. We don't need to no longer fall to that. We can rise above that. Brothers and sisters tonight, faithfulness to the end, enduring to the end means delivered forever, saved forever. That's what it means. Saved from the very presence of sin. Right now, you and I, we're just strangers and pilgrims here. This is not our home, or is it? It's temporary, isn't it? It's your home in heaven. Is that where your heart goes? Well, this present evil world stands in contrast to the future world wherein dwelleth righteousness and beauty. And peace, and joy, and love. That's what the contrast is tonight. Look, dear ones, do I even need to convince you tonight that this present world is evil? Is that your worldview tonight? That we're living in an evil world? No, just go right back to the beginning of time. You have Adam and Eve. And so quickly we find them, what, lying and disobeying God. Go several chapters on and you have two brothers, and one gets angry at the other one and he kills him. Go a few chapters further, and soon you have, what, every thought evil continually? And then you have the flood. And not long after the flood, you have God coming down, and he destroys that Tower of Babel that they raised up in defiance to God, and he scatters the people. A few more chapters later, you have Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed. 10 righteous souls in there? Not even 10 righteous souls could be found within those walls. You know what? Man has continued no differently since then. This is the same world that you and I live in. Do we see that tonight? Do we understand that tonight? Man continues to love darkness rather than light. Man loves himself way more than he would ever want to love God. This evil world tonight is characterized by death. It's characterized by disease, by cruelty. I mean, how many dear little babies in the United States have been put to death? Untold numbers, dear ones, tonight. Is this a nice world to live in? How many children tonight are growing up in homes where there's no love, where there's no dad, or where there's no mom? How much pain is out there tonight? Is this our worldview, or are we just pretty comfortable here? It's pretty nice here. Everybody sort of just leaves me alone and have a nice place and work a nice job, and I'm comfortable. I mean, this isn't too bad, is it? This is not the Bible view of our world tonight. And we had better change our perspective and our worldview tonight to see it more accurately and more clearly as God sees it. This is a present evil world, and we need to be convinced of that. Even though we live in times of peace and prosperity and great blessings, let us not ever forget the world that you and I live in is not a friend to us. It will not help us. Well, tonight, are you looking for a new heavens and a new earth? This present evil world is headed, and it will end in destruction eternally, forever. Tonight, praise God if you have been rescued and delivered from this present evil world. And perhaps we have dipped into it here and there, but perhaps tonight we need to just be inspired to get out of it again. This is who we are here. We are Christians tonight. This world is evil. That is God's view of our world. All right. The third reason that Jesus died was to fulfill the will of God, our Father. Tonight, this is the struggle of the universe. Our will and God's will. This is a power struggle tonight that you and I often don't do very well at. My will, God's wills. My desires and what I want sometimes can be so strong. My will can be so strong. Tonight, God will not let his reign go challenged. God's will be done on earth. And God's call to us tonight is choose to go your way or give it up all. All on the altar of sacrifice laid. That's the call that comes to us tonight. That's the struggle that you and I face tonight in our own lives, our wills, and the will of our Father. All of my plans, all of my desires, everything I think, on the altar, on the altar, on the altar. It's either God or not. It's not halfway, it's not three quarters of the way. It's either all or none. This is the struggle we have with parents and children. This is the struggle we can have between husbands and wives. This is the struggle that we face in our relationships, our wills. Well, we need to be like Saul on the Damascus Road. Lord, who are you? And what do you want me to do? I'm done. I'm done fighting. I'm giving up. I surrender. Not my will, but yours be done. That's scary, and it's hard sometimes to say that and to pray that. But you and I must get to that place in our lives, sometimes every day. That's why Jesus came. He came to fulfill the will of his Father. And how well did he do it tonight? He did it perfectly. His Father looked down from heaven and said, "Look at my son, I am well pleased with him." "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." Hebrews 10, verse 7, and he did it perfectly. Oh, the love that drew salvation plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. The salvation of the world was planned. It was planned before it was ever created. God knew we were going to have this problem, and the plan was already in place. And Jesus said, whenever that was, I would be willing to come to buy these people back. And he came to do the Father's will, and he did it perfectly. Did it perfectly. Obediently, the scripture says. How do you and I measure up to that tonight, to that measuring stick? How does that stick lay against ours? Does ours need a little straightening? Well, the fourth reason that Jesus died was to bring glory to his Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Jesus came for God's glory, and we have been redeemed for God's glory tonight. How did the death of Jesus glorify his Father? How did the death of Jesus on the cross, how did that bring glory to his Father? How could that be? Mercy at Calvary was great and grace was free. How could it be that I, a child of hell, would in his image shine? I've got light tonight. I've got freedom tonight. I've got a hope of heaven tonight. What mercy has been given to us tonight. God has fixed. He's fixing our lives. It's a lifelong process. We'll never be done here. Until we close our eyes in death. Think about tonight. It magnified the mercy of God and his grace. The death of Jesus did. Think about the love that it magnified. Think about the love that God showed to us in the cross. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest hell. Reaches right up there to the mercy seat and all the way down to us. As far down as you can go, it'll reach you. No matter if you're at rock bottom tonight, it will reach you there. That's how strong God's love is. So deep the stain can be washed away. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, it shall forever more endure. Muslims believe tonight that their God forgives. Their God will forgive them. But tonight, Jesus has paid it all for us tonight. All of our sins can be gone tonight. Christ's death tonight magnifies the power of God in taking somebody that was a slave to sin and turning them into a child of the King. And a child who is no longer bound by those passions and those desires, who has turned their back on them. They're walking a different direction. And yes, what a miracle it is that God can use even such fallen creatures as us to send out his message tonight. He's expecting us to do that. It's our call tonight. He's going to use you and me to do that. Poor as we were, poor as we are, he is. It's our responsibility to do that tonight. Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that found my soul a hiding place. Romans chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul, he quotes David and he says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." How blessed is this man tonight? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Like, did you ever wish for 1,000 tongues to sing tonight because you have been delivered and redeemed and rescued and you're a child of the King tonight? Charles Wesley, I think he wrote that song. I think he longed for 1,000 tongues. One tongue's not good enough. What about 1,000, Lord? Would that suffice? Still wouldn't be enough, would it? Well, tonight, dear ones, have you been rescued? Have you been delivered? Who do you look like tonight? Who do you walk like tonight? Who do you talk like tonight? Well, I trust tonight the gospel message, it invites us to come. It invites all men to come. All men to come and find forgiveness. There's hope tonight. We are beacons of hope. Don't give in to the darkness around us, the discouragement, all the negativity. We got hope. We got a message. We should have a smile on our faces, light in our eyes. If you've been saved tonight, praise the Lord. What you've been saved from and what you will be continued to be saved from as you travel on through this life. We don't know how long we'll be here. We don't know. Well, tonight, I trust you've been inspired. You've been blessed. Maybe there's some things in your life that need to be changed. Do that. I have some work to do. That's the message. That's the call for us. That's the gospel. Thank you tonight for your attention.